No, I didn't tell him what I was going to preach on today, so I thought that song and this one we're going to be singing certainly is appropriate with what we're talking about today about prayer and about Hezekiah. So as we looked at this and we thought about it, I'm reminded of myself, and this is why I preach lessons like this. It's to help me to better understand my own life, and I think, okay, so he's pretty much, and we've got it, all of these events certainly compressed in a short period of time. But when we think about those things and we think about our own lives, it's typical the way we do things. Everything that I've said this morning seems to be typical. And we discussed that. We discussed about the threat against Judah, about the fact that he pleaded to God for their deliverance and he also for his own life, for a longer life. And God had already planned on their deliverance, but he wanted someone to come and talk to him about it. And he didn't give them deliverance, we noted, until someone came and talked to him about it. He could have, but he wanted them to show their dependence on him. So I want us to remind us again as we look at this second lesson from 2 Kings chapter 20 this time. As we talked about this, we talked about various things. But now an event happens in where things are going really well for Hezekiah. He's pleaded to God, Assyria's gone, and now he's got his health back, and he's going to get 15 more years. He knows all of these things, and so life is good. What happens to us when life gets good? Well, everything's fine. And then we stop thinking about God sometimes, and because everything's good. We forgot that we need to still talk to him. We still need to ask him for things. We need to still thank him for things, and all of our prayers should be with thanksgiving. So what could possibly go wrong? This is found in 2 Kings 20, 12 through 21, and also in Isaiah 39. This is a situation in which the next powerful nation is coming along. And everybody knows that studied history knows about Babylon, and we know how powerful they became. We know how powerful Nebuchadnezzar would be. We know that in the future they're going to be an extremely powerful nation. But not right now. They're just kind of starting to show a little bit of this strength that they have. The wisdom in what he's about to do, there's not any. It is not wise what he's about to do. If you know anything about the way countries work, and we all do, you certainly don't want to entice another country to ever want to come back and destroy you on the basis of what they now know about you. The son of the Babylonian king, he sent letters and a present to Hezekiah. He said, I heard about you being sick. Now, this is a tendency to want to, you see, he also knows what happened with Assyria. So the thought process is, if Hezekiah is that strong, we need to get in good with him. So he sends letters and he says, you know, congratulations on getting well. And here's the thing that should have happened. Now, I don't know. It doesn't say whether Hezekiah did this or didn't, but it doesn't say that he did. He should have immediately said, thank you very much. Here's a letter back. Appreciate that very much. It was the God of heaven that healed me. And I'm thankful that you sent these presents and letters. But, we don't really need to talk about this anymore. Nope, he did not do that. And he didn't turn to God and say, is it a wise thing for me to bring these Babylonians in here? He didn't go to Isaiah this time and say, let's pray about this and see if this is a smart thing to do or not. Anybody in this room starting to think about yourself now, how it works with us? We get what we want. We're all lifted up with pride. And he's all happy to show them everything they've got. Sure enough, he shows them everything. He shows them all the treasures. He shows them everything he has. It said he showed them an entire area. Everything. And that would have included the temple. Now, I know he wasn't to take him into certain of those places, and Hezekiah would never have done that, but just to see that temple would have been amazing. He'd already given away bunch of the things that were in the temple, and now he's showing him all the other treasures that are there. I mean, you're talking, in our terms today, billions of dollars. And he shows it to them. Now, it'll be a while before they come back, by the way. But when they come back, in about 80 years, they're going to start taking it. And they're going to start removing it from them. See, he didn't use wisdom here. Isaiah comes up and says, what are these men doing here? Where'd they come from? In other words, what in the world are you doing, Hezekiah? You just got out of a bad situation with a powerful nation. You don't invite the wolf in. Well, these are men from Isaiah, or from Babylon. Well, what have they seen? Well, he said they've seen it all. There's nothing I didn't show them. Someone mentioned this morning, you know, sometimes when the plain word is taught people, they don't want to hear it. He is going to be made to realize that he's made a mistake, a powerful mistake. Let's read 16 through 18. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house, what your fathers have accumulated into this day, shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left. They will take away some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. You start to understand why they think Daniel was probably a eunuch. He was of that class of people that they took away. Hezekiah said to Isaiah, the word of the Lord which you have spoken is good. He said, you know, I made a mistake. I can't change this one. You've already told me what's going to happen. Won't matter now. I can talk to him all day long. This one's not going to change. This is in stone. He made the way for them finally to be defeated. The temple and the city of Jerusalem completely destroyed. And when you think about that, Hezekiah is at fault to start this process. Why? Because he did not honor God by checking with him and checking with Isaiah to see what he should do in this circumstance. He is so lifted up with pride, he wants to show just how powerful he is, and he forgot the God of heaven. By the way, he's a good man. I'm not picking on Hezekiah. Abe Martin's done far worse things. I maybe haven't destroyed a city, but I've done some things, you know, and you think about this. Let's look at this application for just a moment. We'll spend just a few minutes on this, and then we'll end the lesson. First of all, we should trust in God before praying. We need to think about it, and we need to truly trust that he can do things. As Jesus would tell his disciples, if you say to this mountain, be removed, be removed. He said it is powerful. When you talk to God, you have the most powerful weapon you can have besides the word of God. The two weapons we have. In 1 Chronicles 5:20, and they were helped against them, and the Hagarites were delivered into their hand, and all who were with them, for they cried out to the Lord in the battle. They knew who they needed. What did he do? He heeded their prayer. Why? Because they put their trust in him. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your mind. If we think about it, we need to trust in him. We need to really believe that he listens. We need to really believe that he will do something for us. Realize that God wants our prayers. Just like a father wants his children to talk to them, or a mother wants their children to talk to him, God wants us to talk to him. In Proverbs 15:8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination of the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. He wants that prayer. He wants you to talk to him. You may be just driving down the road and you think of something you need to talk to God about. Talk to him right there. You may be in the middle of something. Take a moment and talk to him. Tell him what you want. Tell him what you need. Thank him for what he's done. That's what he wants. Is that asking too much? In Psalm 6, we read this one earlier. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer and let all of my enemies be ashamed. Too many times we're worried about what's going to happen. Well, if we are, let's talk to him about it and say, please don't let what looks like going to happen happen. Understand that God hears our prayers if we're faithful stewards. We know this from James 5:16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. How much does it avail? He said if you will confess your trespasses and someone prays for you, God will remove your trespasses. How powerful is that? Here I am laden down with sin, and I ask someone to pray for me, and they're a good person. That does not mean I can't pray for myself. Of course I can. But he's talking about a person who truly believes in God, and then the sins are removed because I've confessed, because I've repented of them. Otherwise, it won't happen. Know that God answers prayers of the faithful positive every time. He will never answer it negative. Oh, well, Abe, no, Abe, you're wrong about that. Now, we know in 2 Corinthians 12, when Paul prayed three times, he didn't answer him positive. Yes, he did. The positive answer was, my grace is sufficient for you. I don't want you to be lifted up. So when things happen in our life, they're good for us. They're positive for us. God's not going to do harm to us. God wants everything positive for us. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence, the trust, the absolute faith that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. And someone says, but that wasn't His will. That's not what's being discussed here. We can know what His will is about prayer. He revealed it to us. He told us what we can ask for. He told us what we can ask for. Jeremiah 14, 11. Thus says the Lord to His people, thus they have loved to wander. They have not restrained their feet. Therefore the Lord does not accept them. He will remember their iniquity now and punish their sins. He won't listen if you won't do His will to start with. He won't listen if you pray about a brother that will not, this is the opposite of what we just read from James 5:16, will not confess and repent of that sin, or a sister. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life. That's positive. For those who commit sin not leading to death. There's a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. What's the only sin leading to death? A sin that a person will not take care of in their life. They live in it. They don't want to get out of it. It's not a moment in which they sin and then they confess it and pray for forgiveness. It's where that's a continuous line thing. They will not do anything about it. We certainly can't ask for things to satisfy our own lusts. That's already been told us. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, you may spend it on your pleasures. Think about it. He's given us guidelines for what we can ask for. We've seen in God's Word multiple times how He answered prayers, and He does it continuously over and over. And yet we have this mindset that, I can't ask for that. I've heard people say, oh, that would be foolish to ask for that. And I'm like, there's nothing too foolish for God. Sometimes we think, well, that's just such a minor thing. You know what? If it's bothering us, it's not minor. Ask for it. How many times in my life I have finally stopped and asked for something and I received it? I know I did. Some of it really quickly. And things I couldn't do. Not foolish things. Things I needed to find, for instance. Or things that I needed in my life. Or things that I needed to hear from someone. If you don't believe it happens, then you're not trusting in God. God listened to Hezekiah. Hezekiah is just like us. He listened, he said, to Elijah. And Elijah is a man just like you, he said in James 5. Elijah asked for something pretty major. Hezekiah asked for some things that were pretty major. We don't know how many minor things he asked for, but he asked for some things that were pretty major in his life. We need to know what His revealed will is about what we can ask for and what He'll answer. But He'll always answer it positive. But He may answer quickly or He may wait. Let me give you two illustrations. 1 Kings 20 verse 4, we already learned about this. That no more had Hezekiah asked and Isaiah's walking away, just told him he's going to die and turns right back around and the prayer has already been answered. He said, you go back and tell him I'm going to give you 15 years. And I'm on healing. Who could do that? Well, we learned about Jesus this morning. He could do it, couldn't he? He could do it immediately. They were perfectly healed. Every time. Perfectly healed. Nothing in their body. Amazing, isn't it? How can that happen? Because God. They are God. So we learned from Daniel 9:16 through 19. This is Daniel praying. He says, O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray. Now remember, this is after the Babylonians have taken them over. This is after they've been in captivity. They're about to be released from captivity. And he's going to ask for something. He said, I pray let your anger and your fury be turned away from your holy Jerusalem, your city Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our father Jerusalem and your people are reproached to all those around us. Now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on his sanctuary, which is desolate. There was nothing left there. There was no temple. There was no city. There was nothing. It was gone. Rubble. He said, I'm praying that you'll restore it. Oh my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations. Don't you understand there's nothing there, God? You see, there's nothing there. Can you do something about that? And the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds. It's not because we're deserving of it, but I want you to restore it. Restore the temple. Restore the city because of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and for your people called by your name. What a beautiful prayer. How many times have we pleaded to God like that? How many times have we asked God for things like that? And thought, that never even happened in his lifetime. It took him a long time. Several years. Tens of years. Before that would be restored. Before the city would be rebuilt. Before the walls of Jerusalem be rebuilt. All the way down to Ezra and Nehemiah. It took a long time. Did the prayer get answered? Yes. Did he help with this? With the people? Yes. Had he protected all the things that the Babylonians had taken? Yes. Did he send it all back? Yes. The Persians gave it back to him. What an amazing story. How many people would give back billions of dollars worth of things to go back and rebuild? But they did. How? God. How many years later? Does it matter? He answered Daniel's prayer. Be specific in what you want. Jesus said, be very specific. Ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Now, no, we don't. Yes, we do, he said. He didn't say any exception here. He said, you ask, you receive. Now, we may not even understand how God answered it. But he will. And he who seeks, find. To him who knocks, it will be opened. That's a promise. Or what man is there among you who, if specifically his son asks for bread? And he says, well, would a father give him a stone? Or he asks for a fish, would he give him a serpent? He always knows what's best for us, and that's the last part of this passage. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those, whether you ask for it or not? You see, what he's talking about in this is we need to be a talking people. We need to be talking to God all the time. We need to on every occasion, for every event, for everything that goes on in our life, because we don't know the impact it might have. We don't quit praying for our children. We don't quit praying for our grandchildren if we have them. We don't quit praying for others. We keep praying for whatever is needful and good. And we know that God will always, always, always answer that prayer, and he'll do it in a positive way. And I don't know what effect. We read all these things, but we don't even think we are going to affect anything in our life. We don't think that we are of any importance in this. Everyone in this room is of importance. Everyone in this room needs to be prayerful. The more prayerful we are as a people of his, the more we will receive from him. It is so powerful. Prayer is so powerful. That as a Christian, I can take care of my sin anytime as long as I'm willing to confess and repent of it. That is amazing to me. So what we did today, we studied Hezekiah and two of his prayers. You'll note in all of this, I never put one of mine up there. I am thankful, I have said this before and I'll say it one more time, I'm thankful God didn't have more to write. because I'm thankful that he didn't add I don't know about the rest of you, but like a little short section about Abe Martin. I can read about Hezekiah and we can pick on him all day long. I'm not picking on him. I'm not picking on any of these people. I realize that these are all Abe Martins, that I have lived so many of these things, and I need to be careful with my own life. Because if it's important for a Hezekiah to do it, if it's important for Elijah to do it, if it's important for everyone to do it, it's important for me to do it. And I will stand up here and tell you that I don't always do it. I'll preach this to you all day long, but I'm going to tell you, be specific in what you want. Let God know. Well, he already knows. I've heard people tell me that I don't know how many times. Well, he already knew what Hezekiah needed too, but he wanted him to ask. He wants us to ask. And I could use multiple passages on that, but I use what I use. But I'm going to tell you the greatest lesson that I learned from this is that as great as God is, and as powerful as God is, and as loving and kind and merciful and gracious as God is, when we don't do our part, we pay the consequences for it. And this caused severe consequences down in the future. Was it going to happen anyway? Yes. But this was the start of it. We need to talk to God. We need to talk to people who can help us understand what we need to do and what we need to ask for and what we need in our lives. We need to listen very carefully to all of those things. And just like the song says, and then on bended knee I come. That when it comes to our position before God, it should always be on bended knee. It may not be physically bending down, but before Him, we need to put the sackcloth on. And we need to be mindful of how humble we need to be before our God. Prayer is effective. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is more powerful than all of the weapons of this world. There's not one weapon in our arsenal for us to do something than that. The Bible is a powerful weapon. If we use it in our lives, prayer is essential. But this is the key. To use prayer, you got to be a child of God. To ask your Father, you had to be His son or daughter. You see, the truth is, you want to become part of that? Well, you have to obey Him, because it's the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person. Did I say sinless? I did not. I said righteous. One who is trying really hard to do what's right. One who is putting God first in their life. Put God first in your life to be obedient. If anyone has any needs today, would you assist you? Would you please stand and sing on the same one?